Hey everyone, welcome back to episode 111 of the Above Board Podcast. And no, your eyes do not deceive you if you're reading the title of this podcast. It is the return of the Rich B. Dude, welcome back.
I feel like there should be some ominous music, like the Darth Vader theme or something should be playing.
Ooh, that would be good. I was thinking when we came up with the title, I came up with the title. I don't know if you'd love it. But I was thinking of, you know, that song like Return of the Mac. I wanted like that playing like Return, but like,
see, you can tell we're such different generations because I was thinking Return of the Jedi.
That's better.
I was in a whole different better world.
That's
than
you. That's you. That that's so me. You.
Yeah.
I'm What's up, dude?
How are you?
Doing great. I think we've missed you. It's been 10 episodes since you've been on the show.
I'm embarrassed about that. I actually have my good friend Johnny, who's also, I only hang out with people named John. My good friend John.
This was me.
Now, you're my good friend John. He's Johnny. Although we call you Johnny too. The kids call you Johnny. Uncle Johnny.
The kids call me Uncle John. I'm going to fight this other Johnny. We're going to see who can win as the Johnny.
Oh, I don't know. That would be a fight. That would be like a good fight. Because he's like, bro goes to, what is that F-35 thing? The Mark Wahlberg thing? He's won like all the regional. He's a beast, bro. I don't know. I would have a hard time betting on that fight. I would maybe go with him. I hate to say that. Just because I know he's a savage. But you're pretty good too.
Who wants to win it more? That's the problem. Which Johnny wants it more?
He's pretty competitive. You guys are a lot alike. I would actually like you guys. I think you guys, he's going to laugh because he listens to our podcast. He recently said to me in a very nice way, he goes, hey, I'm listening to your podcast. Where the heck have you been? Like, bro, like, where are you? So I apologize to everybody. Not that probably no one's noticed. People are like, oh, you were gone. But I've just been traveling quite a bit. In the last several weeks, I have been in Las Vegas, Louisville, Atlantic City, New Orleans, Atlanta, Fort Lauderdale, and West Palm Beach. And then I'm going to Phoenix tomorrow. And then I'll be in Texas and then Atlanta again. And then I'm all over the place. So I've been traveling a lot and speaking quite a bit, which is my job, but it's been great. You and I, so we see each other and I've seen Matt obviously several times, but our schedules, it was like every time we scheduled a podcast, I was either working somewhere on an airplane. So I'm glad to be back.
Well, and you've been hanging out with the other Johnny, apparently. So shout out to the other Johnny. That's what I'm going to call him on this podcast.
You can call him Johnny G.
We can have him on the show. But
he would be a great guest. He's an amazing entrepreneur, super successful guy, amazing dad, amazing husband. He met his wife in high school and they're still together and they're around your age. So maybe a little tiny bit older, but he's a rock star. You would love him. Actually, he would be a great guest.
I love it. Well, Johnny G, if you're listening, I don't actually want to fight you, especially since it sounds like you could beat me up.
He could be.
But so, yeah, let's talk. I know you've been traveling a bunch and we do get to see each other, but we haven't. See, what's fun for me on this podcast is like, this is part of our, we're just hanging out. Like it's like time that I get to have with you. And so we haven't gotten to do one of these in a bit. Well, tell the world, besides all the traveling, what are some of the things that you've been into? I don't know if you listen to any of our podcasts, but I did one where my word of the year is gain, which we can get into, but not financial gain. But what do you have a word of the year? What are you doing?
Well,
If
your word of the year is gain, then my word of the year should be tied, or maybe you're trying to make gains and I'm trying to ride the tide. See, we'll just keep it in like a laundry detergent theme. No, it's interesting. I had a really great conversation with my son the other day and we were talking about, it got kind of really, it was deep. And he was talking about actually, you know, his faith, you know, his faith in God and different things. And then we just got talking about faith in general. So maybe my theme lately has been about faith and just having a belief in something bigger and greater than you. For me, it's God. For other people, maybe it's something else. But he was like, you know, Dad, it's, you know, when I talk to people about faith, especially my friends, especially about younger people, you know, you always get the same corny answer, especially if it goes into the religious zone. People are like, oh, well, if there's, you know, such thing as faith or God or a higher power, then, you know, show me right now. Let me see him. Let him appear right now. And I said, well, imagine if somebody's never experienced or seen something before, it is kind of hard to explain it in a solid sense. So I was like, for example, let's say there's somebody who was born without sight. They were born blind. They've never had sight. They've never been able to see. And you wanted to describe a rhinoceros to them. I go, so describe a rhinoceros. He goes, well, they're gray. I'm like, well, they don't really know what gray is. And he's, well, they've got a horn. I'm like, well, they may not know what a horn is. And he's, well, you know, and he just started going through different descriptions. I said, okay, well, let's say you took that person and you had a very tame rhinoceros, and you took that person and you walked them up to a rhinoceros, and they started putting their hands on the rhinoceros, and they felt it, and they could feel its rough skin, and they could feel its size, and they could feel its strength, and they could feel the horn, and they could walk from one side to the other and see how big it is, and they could smell it, and they can experience it. I said, their experience of the rhinoceros would be different. Why? He goes, because they felt it. I said, well, that's the same way you would describe faith, or you would describe love. If somebody says, I love my wife, I love my husband, I love my boyfriend, I love my kids, and you said, oh, well, what's love? Show me love. Let me see love in front. Make love appear. Make a bunch of hearts appear. You couldn't do it. But when you felt it, if you feel it, then you understand what it is. And so we were having this conversation about the deeper emotions and the deeper needs and the deeper beliefs that we have as human beings, whether they be spiritual or otherwise, and that sometimes to experience them and to understand them, they must be felt. You know, faith is something that I don't know that you can just jump into, but once you feel it, you understand it. It's very hard to explain it to somebody who has no faith or no belief, or have made a decision that they don't believe in this or they don't believe in that, because if you can't show it to them or show it in action, that's a struggle. And certainly if they don't feel it, that's another struggle. There's people that haven't believed in love. Oh, there's no such thing as love. Love is, you know, just, it's made up by, you know, Valentine's card companies. There's no such thing. And then they fall in love with somebody and they go, oh, I get it. I remember when, as a weird example, but when my dog Rocky passed away, you know how hard that hit me. And I remember anytime I had a friend that lost a pet, I would always, you know, of course I'd feel bad for them. Oh, I'm so sorry you lost Fluffy, or, you know, it's really sad. I feel bad for you, bro. Anything. I'd feel bad for them, and I'd kind of move on with my day. And then when I lost my dog and I felt that tremendous, it was like the deepest pain I think I felt in the longest time. Now that I felt it, I had a different understanding of it. And so when somebody loses a pet now, I'm much more compassionate and empathetic. So, I mean, that's something that I've really been, you know, talking about as kind of like a life lesson with Luke, just about these greater emotions. Because we were talking about love, and he was asking me, like, you know, how do you, we were talking about faith, and he was like, how do you know when you're in love? And, you know, that had led from a conversation of him talking to somebody who didn't believe in God. And he was like, you know, how do I, you know, they said to me, well, show me God, make God appear, go call Jesus and make him pop up in front of me. Huh? And Luke was like, you know, trying to have this conversation with this person. And I just think that it's about a knowing inside of you or a feeling. So that's kind of like some of the deep things I've been dealing with.
There is no shaking off the rust of your podcasting chaps. You knew what you like, jumped right back in. What you just shared, I think for me, like you mentioned Rocky, and I remember I was with you guys when, when you say goodbye.
Part of that, big part.
But something about like the starting of life or the ending of life for me deepens my faith. I was thinking as you were talking about my own life situation and where I've found faith and when I've really felt it be strong in my life. And actually it was when I said goodbye to my dad. I mean, I was holding his hand when he took his last breath in the hospital. We were all there. And I think many folks, for sure, when you lose someone, especially like when you lose someone that's, I mean, he was 66. Wow. Like he shouldn't, you know, it's not like it's, you know, it's not, oh, person's 98 years old. They lived a long life and you can sort of rationalize things a different kind of way. And you look at that and you're like, man, like he, you know, I would love for my kids talk about him because I try to keep his spirit alive and keep his memory alive with them. But I remember saying goodbye to him and holding his hand and thinking like, and maybe the days and weeks that followed, I felt more connected to God. I felt more connected to my faith and it's weird because normally you would maybe question things like, why did this happen? If there's a God, kind of like you said, show yourself right now. But like, why would you let this loss happen? And you know, I saw how much he suffered that year with his battle of cancer. And I don't know, I felt more connected, as weird as that sounds. And the same thing can be said when life comes into this world, like watching my children be born. Oh my gosh. I mean, what a miracle of life that is to see.
Isn't it funny that people will always, when there is a loss or a death, they'll always be like, where is God in this, you know, moment. But when life comes into the world, nobody ever says, you know, where's God right now? Nobody gets upset with that. Like that, we accept, oh, that's the miracle of life. But when somebody passes away, I guess because of the pain of loss, people, their anger kind of gets stirred up, you know, and that's when they kind of call out. I feel, well, first of all, with Rocky, you were certainly there. I remember you're the one that carried him to the van outside after he passed away, because I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. And, you know, I then, you know, just a couple of years ago, lost my mom, and I was holding her hand when she passed as well. And it was a very interesting, of course I was sad, but I had a very spiritual experience with that. Now, maybe that's because I'm a nurse and I've seen a lot of death. I've seen a lot of death. And I feel like I'm aware, I have an awareness of the sacredness of life in general, from the beginning to the end, whether a life is short or long, whether it is, you know, lost because of natural reasons or accidents or violence or whatever it may be. I'm just very aware of the sacredness of life, and also have an awareness that I have a responsibility. I think when you're given something, you know, it's the Spider-Man quote, right? To those who great power are given, you know, there's, you know, what is it? Oh my gosh, I just messed it up. To those who are given great power,
I have no idea. Is it with great power comes great responsibility?
Yeah.
I love that we're talking about faith and God.
I'm going to jump to Spider-Man.
And then here we go. And, you know, as Spider-Man says.
Well, it's true. Well, but to those who, you know, great power given, there's great responsibility. And I think life is a great power, right? So if you're given life, when you say that's a powerful thing, you just said, you know, it's God, right? So with life, there's great responsibility. And as I'm getting older, I realize that I have a responsibility beyond just my wife and my kids and my coworkers and my clients, but I have responsibility to the world. And I thought to myself, how can I have a greater impact, even in little ways? So, you know, my social media presence, you know, it's a joke. I mean, nobody sees my stuff anymore. I mean, but I'm losing like 600 a day. You know, I'm not one of these like social media influencers that are really chasing it. I just post my nonsense that I post. But I realized that, you know, that's one way to reach people. So I try to keep my stuff funny or positive or goofy or whatever. But I came across these shirts. Everybody sees them on Instagram and if for those of you that are on Facebook. And they're really cool. On the front, it says that, oh my goodness, my brain is like not having a good day today. I'm pulling a blank. Give me one second. It says, she's, oh, Donnie.
Okay, buddy. It's
I'm
fine.
Pulling a blank. It says, not you matter. Oh my gosh, my brain is pulling a blank. Hold on. I have a picture of it. Let me just grab it and I'll find it. And then I'll save the moment.
I mean, my brain's not working that great either. I called him podcasting chaps a second ago and I meant to say podcasting chops. I don't know. No one probably caught on to that, but now that I exposed that, you probably heard it. But you know,
it was cool.
I gave you kudos that you still had your podcasting chops, but maybe
maybe I've lost. Maybe you're giving me too much credit. I actually did a TikTok with it because I thought it was, oh, there it is. It says you are enough. Sorry, guys. On the front, it says you are enough. And then on the back, it says, dear person behind me, this world is a better place with you in it. Love the person.
Oh, I've seen you wear that shirt.
Yeah. Love the person in front of you. And I bought three of them and then I bought a hoodie. And because I travel so much, but then I also come home and I have time to turn over and do laundry. I've been wearing that shirt or the hoodie every flight that I've gone. And then to my son, I text him the number of people who say something to me. And my record for a day of travel is 14. 14. That's a lot. In our society, for 14 people, strangers, they'll say things like, they'll tap me in the shoulder, say, oh my God, I love your shirt. Or I hope you don't mind that I took a picture of the back of your shirt. Personally, I think it was just because my butt was cute and they wanted a picture. No, they'll be like, I took a picture of the back of your shirt. Or I'm boarding a plane and the person that scans my boarding pass says, oh my God, I love your shirt. I went and had coffee in Texas at a coffee shop and the young lady read the front of my shirt. And then as I was doing finishing my coffee, her coworker says, oh my God, read the back. And she started like getting teared up. She's like, I really needed to hear that today. And who knows what she was going through. You know, I've had in the last 40 days, 30 days in my circle, I've had two people commit suicide. Neither were close to me. Neither were people that I knew personally, but I knew their loved one, their child or their spouse. And it just made me think that how fragile some people are that are walking around this earth. And that silly little t-shirt, whoever came up with it, bless you. Every time I wear it, I get the thrill of somebody saying, I love your shirt, or your shirt made my day, or I needed to see that today. It's a neat thing. And I feel like that sacredness of life, that presence of God, that spiritual thing that we do, like how easy it would be, even if you're an introverted person and you're not the kind of person that's going to walk up and, you know, help somebody or say something to somebody, you could just wear a shirt that says something nice on it, you know, be grateful or, you know, whatever. You never know. Like those little things, I think they make a difference. They do. I really do. And it's such a good example.
It's putting good into the world, which I think that's at the end of the day, that's the biggest thing, especially on. So it's funny, as you were saying this, I wrote this down because I wanted to come back to it. You're making real life impressions, you know, like on social media. I've had so many impressions, like likes and comments and stuff. Isn't that kind of weird that like we've come that full circle that it's like, oh, these are likes and comments happening in the real world, because that's just not how we communicate anymore. No, like you don't go up and talk to a stranger. You scroll through social media and you might comment on somebody's stuff. And here's the rub with that on social media. What are most people typically commenting and doing if they're doing stuff? A lot of times it's negative.
Mostly.
So they're putting negative stuff out there in the world. And you've always been like, a lot of times, like you end your videos with,
you're awesome.
You're awesome. Like you always have, you have the ability to put a positive spin on anything, even in a negative environment or situation. You can find the light out of that, the positive, the learning lesson, the whatever. And that is a great skill to bring to the table to society, because most people are.
I appreciate you saying that. For me, it comes from a place of being absolutely broken and negative. I mean, because I'm not wired to be a positive person. I'm not wired to find the good in people. My biggest struggle in life is to overcome negative thinking and negative beliefs about myself and judgmental feelings about other people. And I struggle with that. So I kind of just make the effort because it's a weakness, you know? And I'm a big proponent in leaning into your strengths. And I'm a big proponent in, you know, trying to look at our weaknesses and do both at the same time. And, you know, it's funny, my strengths, I think most of our strengths help our weaknesses. I have a strength. I think my strength is self-awareness and discipline. And so self-awareness and discipline kind of help you if your weakness is being negative and, you know, whatever, because using my self-awareness and using my discipline, I try to work on that. So I do believe in trying to put good in the world. I find that even on my social media, hold on one second, because my dog is crying to go out the door.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to our show. Are you looking for shorter daily episodes of Above Board delivered straight to your Amazon Alexa? Join CannerPath 365 and get our daily brief with market updates, financial news, and mini podcast snippets like from today. Sign up now at CannerPath365.com and we'll see you there. Well, while you do that, what I wanted to share with you real quick is, because you were talking about Luke and your son and the conversation you were having with him. I feel like having kids is a great opportunity to be able to reflect inwardly on your own. Like, you don't want those things for him or for your for your kids. No. You don't want them to deal with the battles and the struggles internally that you've created. And so you almost had to find resolve, and maybe through your professional work that you do, or like through the mentorship of your children and being a father and show, like, you can't. So here, I don't know if I'm connecting the dots well enough here, but I am a very anxious person. Anybody that knows me well knows that maybe it's like there's a calm under pressure feeling. So some people that don't know me well enough are like, no, you seem fine. But if you know me well enough, you know, I'm like the duck in the water where the legs are just going like 1,000 miles an hour.
Right.
And so I'm a very anxious person. Behind closed doors, like, you see that, you see those tendencies. My daughter for sure is starting to see that. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Like, I know what's going to happen if she keeps seeing me act this way or freaking out about scenarios. Like, I got to find a way to be better. I got to find a way to turn that thing into a good thing, because I don't want to live my entire life like that.
Absolutely.
Being anxious. And, but B, I don't want her to see that and her to adopt those habits and go, okay, that's normal.
Well, and I mean, it all comes back to, we always want better for our kids than we had or than we were, you know? Like, I noticed with Luke, he doesn't really struggle with worrying about like what people at school think of him. If somebody doesn't like him or judges him, or he's like, if you don't like me, that's on you. Whereas when I was
amazing age, trait for him, by the way.
Yeah. Well, not amazing one that I had trait. When I was 14, 15, right. I very much cared about what everybody thought of me.
Same.
So he's somehow, we've been able to help instill that in him, or some of it's just coming naturally or whatever. He's got, even Jackie was saying, your wife was saying this the other day, he's got this confidence about him, which is not a cockiness. I mean, sometimes it could be, but he's such a confident person. And I think it comes from his strong kind of moral, you know, structure. I've strived really hard. I just feel like if you got three kids like I do, I just want to bring three decent human beings into the world, just like you're trying to do. You know, your kids are kind, your kids are sweet, your kids are loving, but your kids are also strong. They're not, you know, wimpy. They're not, you know, afraid of things. They're confident. I just think, you know, you do the best you can. But with me, I think a lot of it has to do with just that seeking to instill that good, or that wanting to put good out there. I think it's an easy thing to do. And I think a lot of people think it's some complicated, you have to go, you know, join the Peace Corps to change the world. I think somebody holding a door open for somebody, or saying good morning, or saying I like your shirt or whatever, can sometimes make as much of a difference as you can imagine. We had an experience 2 weeks ago, and I hesitate to share this because it's gonna be a little back padding, so I don't mean to do that, but I just still want to share it because it comes from how initially I responded to what happened inside me, and it was a life lesson. So we were coming back from spring break. We stopped off at a fast food place to grab something to eat. It was the Chick-fil-A. And it was Dawn, my wife, myself, and my two kids. And as we were walking in, at the same time, older man, probably in his, I don't know, older than me, 10, 15 years older than me, looking like he could be somewhat maybe homeless, or, you know, he looked like, you know, he had a dirty backpack and he was dirty and his clothes were dirty and he had a, you know, dirty beard, and just, he didn't look like a, you know, a guy that, you know, just walked out of his house. He looked, you know, like he'd maybe been on the streets a little bit. Walks in front of us and gets in line. So of course, in our world, a lot of times, just the streetwise, you know, when you see somebody like that and you've got kids, you know, you're always careful because you never know if there's something going on or whatever. It's just a normal common sense thing to do. But, you know, we just kind of made sure, you know, he was kind of a little bit in front. So I was judging him a little bit, like, oh, you know, he could be dangerous. He could be whatever, of course. And that was just a judgment I made. So, you know, get mad at me for being judgy, but I've been attacked by homeless people before. So, I mean, maybe it's a little bit of just reality, right? So as he goes up,
that story is crazy, by the way. I know that story. We can tell that another podcast time. That's
yes.
A crazy story.
So he goes up in line, and as Dawn is ordering for our kids, he's got a Chick-fil-A gift card. And I hear him say to the cashier, could you please check? I'm sorry to bother you. Could you please check to see if there's anything on this? So she runs it and she says, no. He goes, are you sure? Because I think there's $10 on it. The manager comes over. And I noticed my son's looking and my daughter's looking, and you can't miss it. It wasn't loud. And then just this little voice inside my head just said, you know, take care of this. It's nothing for you. Like, literally, it's nothing. I don't want to embarrass him. So behind him, I mouthed and motioned to the cashier, I got it. So she knew I meant, I'm showing you, but I went, you know, I got it. And she goes, and she nodded at me and she goes, what would you like to order? And he looks at her. He goes, I don't have any money on the card. She goes, it's okay. She goes, sometimes God provides. And he goes, oh, now this is so sweet. He goes, I just want a sandwich. She goes, do you want a drink or fries? He goes, no, I don't want to take advantage. I just want a sandwich. And I was like, whoa. So I like make a movement with my hand. Sorry, I knocked the mic. I made a movement with my hand. Keep going. She goes, no, I'll give you more. You have to have more, you know, take more. So she just said, I'm going to add fries on there. I'm going to add a drink on there. What drink do you like? I'm going to add, you know, a brownie, whatever. She added a bunch of stuff. I was like, go. And she did. And then he goes, how am I supposed to pay for that? And she said, don't worry. And then I just kind of like behind him with my watch, I just put it down on the charger thing. Now, please, I'm not trying to like, oh, look at what I did. I bought a homeless person Chick-fil-A. I'm not doing that. He looked at me and he had tears in his eyes and he put out his hand and he said, my name's Morris. I said, my name's Rich. He said, Rich, I just want to thank you. And I said, you're welcome. I said, and I looked at him and I said, and I want to apologize to you. He goes, why? I go, well, because when you walked in, I was like, oh, looks like a scary dude, you know, and I kind of pushed my kids. He goes, no, you did the right thing. He goes, I do look like a scary dude. I go, but you're a good man. And I go, whatever you're going through, I'm sorry. He goes, you're a good man too. And he looks at my family and he goes, you have a beautiful family. And he goes, you did more than just feed me today. You just set a good example for your son and your daughter. And he just said, God bless you both. God bless you all. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And he got his food and he walked out. We were sitting down at this point as he was, I think he went to the restroom, washed his hand, and he walked out and he just said, thank you so much. And I remember just like being kind of quiet about it. And Ava and Luke, they couldn't stop talking about it. And they were like, wow, dad. And I was like, I got to be honest with you guys. I know you guys think I did such a nice thing. I go, but I didn't think, I judged him at first. And I had thoughts in my head about, oh, you know, what's this guy, you know, what's he on, you know, whatever mean thoughts I had in my head. God forgive me and everybody forgive me. And then just quickly, this little switch went off inside of me, this little humanity switch that we all have, and just said, it's nothing to you to spend $12 or whatever it was. Thank God $12 is not a big deal to me. To some people, it's everything. And yeah, gave the dude a meal. And I think that for me, of course, that's not something that I go around doing every day, feeding people, but it was a lesson for me in the dichotomy of who I am as a person, who most of us are as a person, because my first thought was not, oh, look at this poor man going through a hard time. I must look for an opportunity to care for him. My first thought was, oh, I got to protect my kids from another.
Yeah. While you're telling that story, your dog is protecting you in the house knocking on the door.
Some dangerous S driver just came to my door. But it was
doing his job. That's what dogs are supposed to do.
It was just an interesting dichotomy and in how fast my brain moved from that. And that's what I'm talking about. If we could all just even have that self-awareness, I'm a work in progress with that. But, you know, of course, common sense is okay. You want to be protective. And if you see a dangerous situation or a person that looks like they could, you know, be harmful or scary, or, you know, somebody walks in carrying a shotgun, don't go, oh, maybe he just went hunting. You know, you'd obviously want to think the worst in that situation. But it was interesting to me that I didn't really necessarily feel super proud of myself. I was more disappointed in myself that my first way of looking at this guy was in such a negative way. And he was such a kind, sweet energy. And then my son reminded me of the Bible verse, which I always forget, that says to paraphrase, be kind to strangers, because you never know, you might be being kind to an angel. It might be an angel in your presence. Morris could have been an angel. That could have been, you know, God putting somebody in front of me to teach me to be kind to somebody. Like that could have been. So it's just a neat thing. It was a good life lesson for me, because it reminded me that I have a long way to go. But I'm trying.
So Rich, that story actually had me tearing up a little bit. That was a very great story.
That's cool.
But what I want to say is, about 2 weeks ago on the podcast, I talked about this thing, and you did this. I don't know if you probably didn't hear this part of the podcast, but I talked about this thing called a RAK. Mm-hmm. It's RAK. It stands for Random Acts of Kindness. And I got that from Casey J. Cox, who was on our podcast a couple of years ago. He has the Quarterback Dadcast. And we have implemented that as a team at Canterpath to do like racks for clients or, you know, just, you know, whoever. And that story is, all I want to say is, do your racks, folks. That is the most beautiful example of a random act of kindness that you did that interestingly started off kind of negative in your mind.
It did. And that's why I'm being honored. And that's why I'm being honest about it, because I think too often, you know, you see people on social media, which I don't have anything against it. Like they post videos of themselves giving money to strangers, or there's a really cool guy. He goes and he asks people to do something for him for free. So be like, hey, I don't have any money. Can I please have a sandwich? And then a person will go, you know, absolutely. And they'll give him a burger, and then he'll go here and he'll give him $1,000. And people come at people like, oh, you're doing that to show off. Yeah. Okay. So yeah. Or he's doing it to show that, look how cool kindness is. Look what I just did for somebody. Look how I helped somebody. So you're always on a weird, it's weird when you want to talk about a thing that you did that was a rack. But I want to be clear that my first inclination was not to be kind. My first inclination was, oh God, why does this guy have to get in front of me? You know, God, you know, he better not do something weird. You know, that was my first inclination. And it was like, It was such a humbling thing afterwards to go, man, I've got a long way to go. But I tried to redeem myself a little bit, which was good because that was during Lent. And what I gave up for Lent was cursing. And that only lasted for the first 5 hours of Lent. So I feel like I also kind of maybe made up for it with a good deed. I know that's not how it works, everybody, but I can pretend.
I love that. Well, I think that's real. It's a great example that you're setting for your kids, but I think it even more so you'd said this when you started telling the story, like I'm not doing this to pat myself on the back.
Nope.
You know what? Who cares? Like to the comment that you just made, like you're sharing a really uplifting story that someone who's listening to this should be looking at that for what it is, which is you're spreading good, you know, humanity, like goodness throughout humanity in the world. That's a good thing. And by the way, it doesn't have to be buying someone a meal. Like you could hold the door open for someone. You could comment on their wardrobe. You could, like, there's 1,000 ways to do something nice for someone that doesn't cost you any money at all.
No.
I'm trying to get back and, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm trying to get back to when I was doing 75 hard. I don't know if you know, I did 75 hard. It's my favorite way to start a conversation. Did you know I did 75 hard? So when I was doing it, one of the things during the Live Hard program was, well, there was a number of different things that you could create, like good habits that you could stack. And one for me was I wanted to write a thank you note, a handwritten note to someone every day. And I did that. I'd put them in the mail. It was like the first thing I did in the morning, I wrote a handwritten note. And I'm trying to get back to that because I just think, A, it's kind of old school and it feels nice. You know, we're so used to just commenting on social media and stuff. It's kind of nice to get like a handwritten note in the mail, but
it is.
It doesn't take a whole lot of effort. It takes a little bit of time and that's about it. It doesn't cost me anything to brighten someone's day, to send
it's
them
really
a
easy.
Letter.
So you know what? It could be, you could be low tech and old school and write a thank you note, or somebody could take really good care of you in a restaurant. You can go on Google or, you know, whichever of the rating things and go give them a Google rating and say, hey, you know, John was my server at Chipotle today and was amazing and was super kind and gave me extra guac or whatever the case may be, because you just never know. You just literally never know. And my son, Luke, is so good at noticing that when you're nice to people and you're kind to people, it has this other effect around the people around you. We've done things and things have happened that we've done out in public. And then somebody else will comment on it or say, I'm going to do that. And then he'll be like, Dad, like we helped that person or we did that for that person. But then that other person is going to do it. So, you know, what's the worst? What's the worst? I always like to say, I'd rather apologize in this world for being too kind than to regret having not been kind enough. Because there's times that I remember one time in Pensacola, I walked into a coffee shop and a guy walked in behind me looking very dirty and scruffy. And he ordered coffee. This is the worst. I mean, why am I telling this story? And I said, I got it. And I said, do you want anything to eat? And he goes, no, thank you. You don't have to buy me coffee. I go, no, because, you know, I was homeless for a little while. So I was like, no, I know what it's like. And he looks at me, he starts laughing. He goes, bro, he goes, do you think I'm homeless? And I was like, oh my gosh. He goes, I'm doing construction across the street and we're demolishing a building. and it's my construction company. And the guy was like worth millions. It was his construction company. And I thought he was a homeless guy because he was dirty. And I bought him coffee. So he either thought I was trying to pick him up or that I was just being nice. But then we had this great conversation. And he was like, I got to tell. And he took a selfie with me and he texted it to his wife. And he goes, and he posted it on social media and said, when your job is construction and you look so dirty, people think you're homeless and try to buy your breakfast.
That's the best. We should do an episode about when racks go wrong, like when random acts of kindness go wrong.
Oh, I've got three good stories.
I've got some good ones too, where I try to do something nice and selfishly, I wanted to set an example for my kids. My daughter was in the car. So I'm like, I'm going to pay for this person ahead of me. And it just doesn't go well, or it gets awkward. Or like, this is happening at McDonald's. They go, sir, they wouldn't let me do it, actually. In one situation, they wouldn't let me do it. And so there's a couple awkward ones. But one was when I paid for the person ahead of me, but they didn't know that. It was a mom. She had a bunch of kids in the back. It looked like chaos going on in her car. I'm like, I'm going to buy her Starbucks and whatever she's getting. And it was like a lot of money in Starbucks. Like I thought it was gonna be like a coffee, but it was cake pops for all the kids. It was so much money. But here's the best part. The car in front of me, they were waiting for this person. And I told the person on the intercom, I said, I want to pay whatever that is. I want to pay for the car ahead of me. Just, you know, let them know they can move. Like once you give them their stuff, there must've been like a kid crying in the car or whatever. She didn't even get her food or her order. And she just took off and left. Yes. So then I pull up and the guy's, yo, what happened to your girl that was ahead of you? I'm like, I don't know who that was. Like I was just, and he's, I'm sorry, man. You got to pay for it.
No, you still had to pay?
Yes. So I got all this stuff and I didn't want any of it. And
so
I
your kids had a lot of cake pops that day. So that's a good
thing. Yeah. It's when random acts of kindness go
That'll be another, when this, racks go wrong. When racks go wrong.
This is fun, man. I didn't know where we were going to talk about today, but you know, we found it. We found our groove.
Life is a highway.
That's it, baby. That's it. All right, you want to take us home?
Absolutely.
You haven't done this in a while.
I know. I hope I remember. So I want to thank everybody for being with us on the Above Board podcast. It's super exciting to be back. I miss you guys. I hope you'll come and check us out again. This was episode 111, which is good luck. So make a wish. It's going to come true. Hope you and yours are doing great. And until then, don't forget, you're awesome. We'll see you on the next one.